This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're thinking about Jesus as the Lamb of God today. When you think of lambs, what do you think of? Thanks for that. I don't know what they sound like. What do you think of? This time of year, we drive through Yorkshire countryside, and inevitably they go, "Oh, David, stop! There's a little lamb gambolling in the field. It's all cute and furry and cuddly." Well, cuddly. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Such a nice image. Mary had a little lamb. She ate it with mint sauce. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb went too, of course. Mary had a little lamb. The midwife was surprised. And when old MacDonald had a farm, she couldn't believe her eyes. Some people say that fleas are black, but I know that's not so, because Mary had a little lamb with fleas as white as snow. Anyway, lambs in the Bible aren't quite so cuddly, or at least they're not treated in quite such a cuddly way. And I want to explore that story, that metaphor, that image that runs through the scriptures. It's part of our theme, which is who is Jesus, which we've been teaching on, and we will be teaching on for most, on and off for most of the rest of the year. And the Gospel of Mark is our sort of set text for the year, so read it if you haven't read it already. If you go on the website, you'll find various book recommendations and things as well to help you as we go through these. Let's just turn to prayer first. First of all, next Sunday evening, which is our... we're not having the service in the morning, we're having it in the evening, and what we call open space or engine room, it's worship and prayer. And our focus will be the purchase of our new building. I'm going to show the video there of the building and explain where it is, what it is, and we're going to pray into it and find out what God wants to do with us. It's going to be a really exciting evening. Do try to get there, book your babysitters, make sure you get there if you possibly can. Let's just pray about that. Lord, I thank you for this. We're nearly there, and I thank you for what you're doing, and I pray that you will guide us as we make these next few steps. We'll hear your voice speaking to us, particularly next Sunday evening. Would you speak to us clearly about the future and what you've called us to? I pray for the students coming back, and that you'll bless them in their exams and their studies, and for the GCSE and A-level students too, that you'll bless them and their families, and that you'll teach them how to reduce stress and have peace and do the best they can. And we think of the elections that are going on at the moment in France today and coming up for the UK. We pray for the candidates that you will that they will hear your voice in all this. And would you give us wisdom as we figure out how we're going to vote and how we're going to pray? I pray for Ian Dowling in particular, one of ours here, who's going to be an agent for one of the constituencies. And we ask you to bless his hands and his work. And so we thank you for him and his willingness to get involved in the politics of the land. We thank you for everything you've given us, the giving that comes in week by week through standing order that pays for all the stuff that we do here. We thank you for your generosity through that from the people of this church. And I just pray that you'll be with us more and more this morning, and that we may hear your voice through these scriptures and this idea of you being the Lamb of God. Would you help us to understand this and apply it to ourselves? Amen. So, we've been reading round Mark's Gospel quite a lot. Let's just turn to start with to chapter 14. Just one verse from there. It's on your handouts if you would rather look at it there. Chapter 14. Mark is one of the four biographies about Jesus, and the sort of the snappy one, the one that's easy to read. You can read it in 2 or 3 hours. And in chapter 14, if you go to the sentence which is numbered 12, it says this: "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, 'Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover lamb?'" Or actually, to eat the lamb, it says in the original. This and all these words that we're going to look at today, these scriptures are your word to us, God. We thank you for them. They're absolutely right. They're given to us because you love us. Thank you. So it's an interesting little snapshot, that verse. It's one of the feasts. The disciples have gone with Jesus, and the disciples and Jesus have taken a lamb to the altar and have sacrificed it. And then they're saying, where should we eat this? Because that was what everybody did. Where should we go? Which restaurant should we go and have this with couscous or whatever they ate with their lamb? And it's very symbolic. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, Palm Sunday, Anne explained how Jesus came through the East Gate on a donkey symbolically, because he wanted people to understand this means this. This means that I come as the Messiah and the Prince of Peace. And he's doing this now. He chooses his entrance into Jerusalem, into this conflagration that's going to happen, because he wants you to understand who he is. And it's very significant. It's very symbolic. This is an annual feast called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We dubbed it Passover because of the significance of it. And there would have been hundreds of thousands of people there in Jerusalem, all bringing their lambs to sacrifice. The place would have been crowded and smelly and noisy, and they would have been sacrificing these lambs. And just at the same time, we find Jesus goes to the cross and becomes, on the cross, at the same time, the Passover lamb. That's what I want to look at, as he sacrificed himself. Now, you see, through the centuries, through the millennia, people have always sought to expiate themselves for their guilt, to try and put right what they've done wrong. It's they thought of their god or gods as judgmental deities whose anger would be bought off by making a sacrifice of some sort, or they maybe sort of calm the guilt within them by making a sacrifice or doing something like that. And it's still being done today. We still have that link, don't we, between doing something wrong and there being a price to pay for it. We put people in prison in the UK. In America right now, they're executing people for a death sentence for what they've done wrong. You hear people talk about karma, don't you, sometimes? Something really bad has happened to them. Oh, they must have done something bad to somebody else somewhere else. It's karma. You do this, and this is the payoff. Or maybe if you're thinking about it yourself, you're thinking, oh, I feel really bad about that thing I did, those words I said, that thing I did. What can I do to put it right? And I'll give a bit more money. I'll be extra nice to my wife. We try and put it right, don't we? What do you do? What do you do when you don't feel great about something, about your inside? What do you do? How do you put it right? In the Jewish tradition, the religious practice of sacrifice was embedded in their culture and in many other cultures of the time. It wasn't unusual at all. Sounds a little weird to us, but it wasn't unusual there. And there are two big ideas behind the sacrifice of the lamb at the Passover. I just want to look at those two ideas. It's on your handout, the Passover lamb and the sacrificial lamb. So the foundational story in Israel history was the exodus from Egypt. And we talk about the D-Day landings or Waterloo. Okay, and they would talk about the exodus, and they would remember it as being this miraculous intervention of God with power to release them from slavery. A human demonstration of his power against other powers. There was a little boy who was in Vineyard Kids not long ago, and he went home afterwards, and his mum asked him, what did you learn in Vineyard Kids today? Well, mum, he said, Anne told us about how God sent Moses behind enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. When he got to the Red Sea, he had his army build a pontoon bridge, and all the people walked across safely. And then he radioed headquarters for reinforcements, and they sent an Apache helicopter who destroyed the bridge with a missile, and all the Israelites were saved. And Mum said, did Anne really teach it to you like that? Well, no, Mum, but if I told you the way she taught it, you'd never believe me. You may know the story. You may have read the book or seen the film. But there's the Israelites locked in slavery in Egypt, and through a series of miracles and expressions of power, the door is unlocked, the final one being the Passover, and they're released. And what the Passover was, what they had dinner for that night was lamb, which is quite common in those days. Alison and I had just been to South Africa for a family wedding, and we were at a farm in the middle of lamb country, and we had lamb every day, twice a day for 5 days. Must have been a bit like that. They were having lamb, but they didn't have a supermarket to go and get the nicely prepared lamb. They had a lamb in the back garden, which they killed and then cooked. And what they did was they took the blood of that lamb and they put it around the door frame, which sounds pretty bloody to us, but wasn't quite so extreme in their experience. And because of the blood on they were told to do this, and because of the blood on the door frame, the angel of death, when he came over that night, passed over those houses, hence Passover. And eventually they were allowed to leave and experience more miracles, and they crossed the Red Sea and all that. The Passover lamb, therefore, equates to release from slavery, a ransom. Okay, that's what the Passover lamb means. The other image is the sacrificial lamb. Okay, the sacrificial lamb is different. As the nation of Israel regained its identity after the Passover, after they've crossed the Red Sea, they regained their identity, they grew, they strengthened, and they established a justice and religious system to deal with wrongdoing, like we do, both spiritual and legal, very comprehensive. And like other cultures of the time, the price for wrongdoing was paid by sacrifice, by the spilling of blood. And they developed this elaborate system of sacrifice of lambs and goats and other things. Not unusual in the time at all. And so for them, the lamb would be brought to the altar, it would be killed, and the blood would be caught in a silver bowl, and the blood would be thrown against the altar. And then they would take the lamb, and they would cook it and celebrate God's forgiveness and mercy. And it was the worship experience. That's how they dealt with guilt and with sin and wrongdoing. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with it when you've done something wrong, when you've told some lies, or when you've stolen some money, when you've fiddled your expenses at work, when you've mocked somebody, or the lust in your heart, or the envy maybe you feel? Or when you've been gossiping, or you've said things and done things when you're drunk or on drugs. The corner you cut at work, and you know that there's something wrong. What do you do about it? We don't sacrifice lambs these days. How do we get rid of that guilt? How do we say sorry? Where's the expiation? The sacrificial lamb equated to the price paid for the forgiveness of sins. So we had the Passover lamb and the sacrificial lamb, two separate but linked ideas prevalent at the time of Jesus. The Passover lamb symbolizing the escape from Egypt, reminding of when they were in bondage and in prison and they were ransomed, and the sacrificial lamb giving them a way of dealing with their guilt and their shame. Do you get it? Passover lamb, sacrificial lamb. So then we come to this phrase, Jesus as the Lamb of God. And it's a theme that goes through Scripture. Let's pick up on a few of the Scriptures there on your handouts. The first one is Isaiah chapter 53. This is in the Old Testament. Isaiah is one of the big prophets. And he wrote this in chapter 53. If you've sung Handel's Messiah, you will have sung these words. Verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet this is prophetic, this is him speaking about something that's going to happen. He said he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Passover lamb, sacrificial lamb, in his mind as he prophesies this, he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. Let's move on to the New Testament. John the Baptist is about to baptize Jesus, and he sees him coming. And he says to him what? He says, John is one of the other Gospels, one of the other biographies about Jesus. chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Passover lamb, sacrificial lamb. Look, the Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. So you can see how Isaiah and John are identifying Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. Can't you? How they understood what he was going to do, the price he was going to pay. The sacrifice that would deal with not just my sin and your sin, but the sin of the whole world for all time. That's what's ringing in the air. That's what's being declared. And then we get to that bit in Mark that we read at the beginning. Where he says, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, I think that should probably be translated when they had sacrificed the Passover lamb, the disciples and Jesus, they said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover lamb?" And within a few hours of saying those very words to Jesus, Jesus was dying a torturous death just outside the city walls, whilst inside the city walls, thousands of lambs would have been sacrificed. As Jesus' blood pours down the wood and drips onto the ground below his nailed feet, so the blood of many animals was being spattered against the altars in the temple courts. And because of that, because of what Jesus did then, we no longer need to shed blood. No animals need to be sacrificed. We don't need to suffer and die and make up for it, for our sins. Because Jesus' blood was poured out for us. The sacrifice has been made for us for all time. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he puts it like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Christ, our Passover lamb. The Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the escape from bondage, the dealing with guilt and shame. Christ is our Passover lamb. He has been sacrificed. His readers would have understood immediately what that meant. And I'm trying to help us understand it today. And then finally, in the last book of the Bible, it's an interesting book, the Revelation, full of weird symbolism and strange ideas, but amazing way of expanding our mind to understand a little more than we would normally understand about what the cosmic scale of the history of the world is. If we look at Revelation chapter 5, I haven't got time to explain all the symbols in this, but you'll get the drift of it from these words. In Revelation chapter 5, again, this is a vision, a prophecy that John sees, and he describes what he sees. He says, "I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne," that's God, "a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then I saw a lamb." Looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. And he went, and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, they sang a new song, singing, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." Do you get it? Isn't that amazing? An amazing way to wrap up the story. And this idea of who the Lamb is, it's the core difference in our faith between every other faith and every other worldview, is that the deed has been done. There's nothing we can do. I kept asking you, what can you do to sort it out in your heart and your mind when you do something wrong? You can't do anything. It's been done. That's the difference. I hope you can see how this symbol is a powerful metaphor in the minds of the writers of the Bible and helping us understand this message of the good news. We could sum it up perhaps just in one more scripture in Mark chapter 10, where Jesus talks about his call. Mark chapter 10, he says in verse 45, "For even the Son of Man," that's another name for Jesus, it's the one he used for himself a lot, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Remember I said that the Passover lamb was representative of the ransom paid to get the people out of Egypt. It's an escape from bondage. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. The good news about Jesus is that you can be set free because he has paid the price in blood. He has given his life to ransom you and me. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is the Passover lamb. He is the Lamb of God. So the good news today is that whatever condition you find yourself in this morning, I don't know how you've come this morning. You might be sailing on top of the world. Everything's groovy. And you're absolutely having a fantastic time. Or it could be it's not quite like that. It could be that you're not in Egypt. You're not even in a foreign land. You're in God's own county, Yorkshire. But you feel like you're enslaved in a foreign land. Whatever it is that you've come with today, isn't it great to know that you can just step forward and receive forgiveness and new life and release just because Jesus has done it? Isn't that great? You don't have to do anything. You can't whip yourself or pay money or just be extra nice. You don't have to do any of those things because Jesus has forgiven you. All you have to do is surrender to him, unconditionally to him. And what I don't want you to do is to exclude yourself. No, that doesn't apply to me, David. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm really like. You said this before, David, and I said sorry then, and I've gone and done it again. Maybe you find that you're caught in a cycle of addictions. You'll know what they are. Maybe your relationships are a mess. You just keep saying the wrong things and screwing it up. Maybe your finances are out of control. You got loads of money, but you're handling it really poorly. Or you haven't got enough, and you're going into debt. Your sex life is a disaster. You're either behaving really badly, or maybe you're caught up in pornography. That's another addiction. Maybe you just feel under a sort of a shadow of shame for something in the past, and you sort of forget about it for most of the time, and every now and again, bang, it's there in your face. And the enemy just reminds you, and he just twists the knife again. I don't know what you've come for today or what condition you're in. What I do know is that you've come to the right place. And this is where you can receive the love of Jesus and know that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he's taken all the punishment and all the pain on his body so that you can freely receive forgiveness and be set free. What do you need to do? There's nothing to do, as I keep saying it. You just need to say yes and receive his forgiveness and declare that Jesus is Lord of your life, for many of you, again and again. I think when we come to pray, I think the only thing you probably need to do is to get out of the comfort of your pews and take a step forward as a sort of your heart telling your body that you're going to do something about this. And use words like help and I'm sorry. It's nothing more sophisticated than that. When we pray together like that, when people come forward for prayer, by the way, or even in worship, can I encourage you not to worry about what anybody else is doing, by the way? It's very much between you and God. It's I want it to be really you and him sorting it out between you. And if when we worship, for you, there are appropriate responses to raise your hands, you must raise your hands. If it isn't, don't. Don't worry about what people do. It might look like everybody's doing one thing. They're not. If you look around carefully, people are doing different things. You do what is right for you. And when we pray later on, and I invite you to come to the front, you listen out for his voice. And if you want to respond to him, you come to the front. I don't care what anybody else is doing. You might be the only person. You might be the last of 100. Does that make sense? I'm sorry. I've thrown that in free. There's no charge for that. Let me conclude. Whatever your Egypt is, whatever sort of slave you are, I am, there is a ransom. Whatever holds you down, pulls you back, tells you you're unworthy, makes you feel unclean, ashamed, oppressed, imprisoned. If that's your Egypt, there is an Exodus. You are not destined to stay in that place. That's not God's plan for you. He's got something much better for you. The Lamb of God has been sacrificed to protect you and put you on the path to freedom. There is a greater destiny for you, for each of you. He has got a better life and an eternal life for you. You don't have to stay a slave, because Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen. Yes, David. Yes, David. Please say, yes, David. Just to check that you're there and you know who I am. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, I pray that you'll take that image, that picture of the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb. Would you take that and the fact that you're the Lamb of God, you are worthy, and you have saved us. Lord, would you come right now and reveal who you are to each of us where we are? It's not sort of the easy thing to talk about, to be honest, but I just felt God said, give people an opportunity to get straight with him today. That some of you, maybe all of us, but many of us are really chained up, we're held back by sin in our lives, and we can't figure out how to put it right. We think we're going to have to try and sort it out ourselves. We're feeling guilty and ashamed, and I just want you to understand the enormity of what Jesus has done and how that presents you with the opportunity today to receive his forgiveness and to surrender to him. And I know you don't want anybody else to know what is in your mind right now. You don't have to tell anybody. It's between you and him, but I do want you to address it and let him come to you right now with his love and his forgiveness and his mercy. So this is what we're going to do. Would you like to stand? So if you want to get straight with him, if you want to say, yeah, I need help, there's something in my life I want to sort out. I don't want to know what it is. But if that's you, I'd love you to come to the front right now, and then I'm going to pray a forgiveness prayer over you, and we'll minister to each other. So would you like to come forward now if that's you? Be brave. The Lord loves it when our bodies and our legs respond as our heart does to him. He loves that. He for him, that's what he did for us. There's more people. There's lots of space down the sides. Go and make some space. Alison, will you come and help me, please? And Anne, would you come? And Kate, would you come and help, please? Liz? So these guys will just bless you. If you want to tell them what it's about, you can. You don't have to. They will just bless you and they'll speak his forgiveness over you. But let me go first. Just put your hands out. And those of you who are sitting where you are, some of you are thinking, I should be up there. But you're not. That's fine. I want you to honor what they've done and pray for them. So, Lord, I ask you to come right now. And as you've raise things which you want dealing with today. Come with your power now and set these guys free. Come right now. Shower your mercy on them. Shower your mercy on them. That's it. Let him come. Set them free. May they receive your grace and your forgiveness right now. What he's doing. God bless what he's doing. There's an important transaction going on right now. As his mercy comes, people's hearts are being healed and souls are being restored right now. This is transformational in the lives of these people. I bless what he's doing. Let him come. Yeah, let him come. I bless what he's doing. Bless what you're doing. That's it. Let him come, Matthew. That's the Spirit of the Lord's on you. So these guys are going to keep praying here. If you have come today with anything else, if you are needing healing, or you've got financial stuff, or relationships, or just things you just would love people to come pray for you about, then just make your way to the front. Just fight your way up here. There's plenty of space. And we'd love to pray for you. If you're a leader in the church here, if you're a house group, a small group leader, or you have been, you're now on the ministry team, please would you come and join in and pray? Find somebody who looks as though they're waiting for prayer and come and minister to them. I need more of you. Come on. John, I need some men. Bob, come on. So they're going to pray. We've got a minute or two before you have to go and get the kids, but we're just going to let people be ministered to and pray for them. I'm just going to thank you, Lord, for today, for what you're doing in the lives of people here, for the truth that you've communicated to us in worship and word and in prayer. Thank you for what's going on in the kids and the way you're ministering there. I pray that you'll bless the congregation of Leeds Vineyard and all those we know. Amen. Have a great week. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today.